The first reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 22 to 27, and can be found on page 154 of the New Testament section of the Bible. The future glory. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together as it suffers together the pains of labour. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what one already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. And God, who searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and chapter 16, verses 4b to 15, on page 107. Alleluia, alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. And chapter 16. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
As we stand our prayer, may I speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, O God, our Lord. Amen. Do sit comfortably. Though on Pentecost Sunday, we might not sit comfortably, might we, as we are challenged by God's Holy Spirit. If I was a Victorian preacher, I would say, my text for today is, but I'm not, but I am going to read a text. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. I beg you, take that away with you today. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Page 107 is our gospel passage, if you want to have that open. The grandest church in the town where I was brought up was called Holy Trinity. I'm so glad that All Saints is so named. The communion of saints, the communion of believers. But there could be no saints, no believers, and there could be no communion of them unless there is first, in the beginning and forever, the God from whom our salvation has come, whom we worship here on earth, and whom our brothers and sisters have already passed from death to life, worship in the glorious wonder of God's eternal presence. I wonder what they do on Pentecost. Today we celebrate the climax of our annual journey as the church, marking the great earthly work of salvation. The work by our God to take us from darkness into light, from powerlessness to power, full living. We hear the sounding of the third note of the triplet of God's action in this fallen world. A few months ago, we heard the first note, God's love, his gift of his Son into the world. Unto us is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ, the Lord, God with us. The stunning and unique incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We then moved into his earthly ministry, that life of Jesus where he walked and talked and met and befriended and healed and cast out the demons under the thrall of the ruler of this world who is condemned, we've just read. And the second note sounded over our Easter weekend, our Good Friday recollection of the event of crucifixion, forged in the furnace of God's saving love. And then on Easter Day, transforming into the power of the resurrected Christ. And today, we complete the triplet as we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the triplet of notes in our journey themselves echo back to us the truth that our faith is Trinitarian, Holy Trinity. One God, three persons. Some of you will already know that back in the 17th century, when there was a church here, though none of us were around, the Church of England was founded first on the Scriptures, on this book. Then subordinate to them were two things. One, the Book of Common Prayer, which would have been used a great deal here at one time. And the other document is the thing called the 39 Articles of Religion. The first article of those 39 reads like this. There is but one living and true God, everlasting, without body, parts, or passions, of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness, the maker and preserver of all things, both visible and invisible. And in unity of this Godhead, there be three persons of one substance, power, and eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the God, friends, whom we worship. And today marks our celebration of the astonishing moment when the Spirit of the living God came and dwelt not on one person, like with King David, not on 70 helpers, as with Moses in the desert, but on all who were waiting for him to come. The Spirit that was manifest to the eye by tongues of fire, that was manifest in speech for minds and hearts, in language understood by everybody. What language do they speak in heaven, by the way? Perhaps it's that language. It's that Spirit that continues to be manifest, entering into the lives of every believer ever since. This is what today is about. I'm glad we didn't sing Happy Birthday, because it's not a birthday party where we remember a gift, generous certainly, but a gift that will wear out, be forgotten over time. What we're doing is recalling the utter, incredible fact that the very Spirit of the living God, weigh those words up, the very Spirit of the living God is at work in the world today. And at work in our lives today, our lives, yours, mine, however you feel. That's why we should shout, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. What else could we say? So it's not just about, yippee, today, it's Pentecost. As I said to the vicar, a lemon sherbet spirituality that fizzes and, oh, that was lovely. Now what's for lunch? We need to go on learning about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. We all do, all the time. And what can we learn in our time together today? Well, what did the Lord Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? Our gospel passage gives us one of those windows into Jesus' teaching. We look in to him, talking to his disciples, telling them what they need to know, for them rather than for us. But we have it recorded here by John to help us. The richness of these few words is the assurance that they give us in our time. Maybe the disciples were puzzled when they heard it, but we don't need to be puzzled. This assurance has been given to all Christian believers since those days in the first century AD because of Pentecost. The assurance that we have the whole truth from God. The whole truth from God. The apostles, after the ascension that we were celebrating quite recently, having received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, experience the fulfillment of this promise from Jesus. They were guided by the Spirit into all the truth about Jesus. And as the Spirit declared to them all that belonged to Jesus, did you get that in the reading? The Spirit declared to them all that belonged to Jesus, the Son of God, the incarnate God on earth, all that belonged to him was declared to them. As the Spirit declared to them that, they also received the truth of the Father. Because as Jesus said of himself, all that the Father has is mine. I am the Son of God. And the Spirit will take what is mine, all that the Father has, and declare it to you. All that the Father has declared to us. Not because we're special, but because he loves us so much. He wants us to be with him, not here with him forever. Because that's what we were made to do in the first place. That's what the Garden of Eden was all about. And we left it, and we're here now. And he says, come back. Join me again in the relationship for which you were created. And I'll show you how to do it. I'll speak to my people. I'll teach them. I'll send you prophets. I'll send you my Son. And I'll send you the Spirit. For the early church, as much as for us, the massive confidence that we receive truthful testimony and complete testimony from the Spirit. They were convicted by it. They testified to it in their preaching, many of them unto death. The teaching was recorded. They wrote for us, as did others. And we have this full truth in our Bibles, the truth about sin, redemption, salvation, God's love, forgiveness. You know how much you need it. And then about righteousness. And if you've been with us on a Wednesday morning, you'd have heard what the Apostle Paul teaches about righteousness. It's like turbocharging your Christian life when you get learning like that. And it also tells us about judgment. Don't forget that. And the glory to come. Jesus is already glorified. That's why we have Pentecost. The Spirit comes. One day we too will be with him like that. Don't doubt it. Don't let troubling times unseat your confidence. We have what we need. Open your Bible, read the word of life, and live the life of the one to whom God has said, come back and be with me in this life and in eternity. The Christian teacher and commentator Don Carson puts it like this: the apostles were given a fully Christian understanding of all that Jesus is and did. We have a fully Christian understanding of all that Jesus is and did. Is and did. The Holy Spirit convicted the apostles of all this truth. They testified to it, and in the continuing eschatological age. Learn that word. Don't be afraid of it. Please don't be. The age in which we wait for the Lord's second coming. Aren't you longing for that? You should be longing for it. The God who says, I want you back with me, is coming back to get you if you haven't run on ahead. If there's a way of running on ahead, let me know, because I'm with you. I'll race you to the gates of the celestial city any day. The Spirit is still convicting men and women and girls and boys and young people of all the truth of the gospel. Once I was blind, and now I see. And our task then is to testify to the truth. We don't do it in our own strength. We could not do it in our own strength. There will be days for some of you, as for me, when you don't feel like you have any strength at all. God's strength never tires, never runs out, never runs away, never gives up, doesn't need to be recharged, and lasts forever. Now, that's a battery I want in my spiritual life. In our passage from Romans this morning, we've read the reassuring words from Paul that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we don't know which way to turn, we don't even know what to pray for. Have you ever felt like that? I'm bold to say, of course you have. The Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. This is the Spirit of God. He doesn't need language like us. In, as the great long ago translator of the New Testament, J.B. Phillips, calls it, agonized longings. What a lovely phrase, isn't it? The Spirit operates on a totally different level to us, on our behalf, helping us in our weakness. As we long for our final redemption to God's presence forever, we live on here. Most of us will have today and tomorrow and some other days, and we must manage. We have to manage for ourselves and many of us for others who depend upon us. Yet we long for the consummation of the whole age and the Lord's second coming. We long for these things, and yet God says, no, for you, not yet. Keep living, keep serving, and one day the door will open and you can step through and it'll be perfect. Don't worry about that. Keep going. We have to wait. We have to stay strong in our confident hope, because we have a hope in which we can be confident. In the worst possible day of your life so far, please God, you don't have anything worse than you've had, but you might. Your hope is as strong as it ever was. As you sit with tears pouring down your face because of what's happened to you or your family or your loved ones or the world, God is with you. As you rejoice in some wonderful event in your life, God is with you, because he cares for all of your life. And one day there will be no tears. We won't even need tears of joy, because the joy never goes away, so we won't be hit by it as something exciting which makes us cry with joy. Don't miss the fantastic final words in that short Romans passage. The Bible tells us that Jesus himself intercedes for us at God's right hand. Don't rush over that. The Bible tells us that Jesus himself intercedes for us, for you, for me, at God's right hand. And in the Romans passage, we learn this morning how the Holy Spirit also intercedes for us. And those prayers of the Spirit for us are not well-meaning. They're not his best effort. That's not, you've done really well there. Keep practicing. They are intercessions for us according to the will of God. What more wonderfully reassuring truth could we take away today? Especially if life is proving almost too much for you. The whole of the Holy Trinity is involved in our daily sustaining. And the Spirit intercedes for us, not as well as he can, but in accordance with the very will of God himself. When you don't know what to pray, the Spirit knows what to pray, and he's already praying it. When you're at the end of your tether and you say to God, God, I've prayed for this so many times, I cannot understand, the Spirit is praying the perfect prayer for you. Well, that's the Spirit at work in prayer. What might be our prayer on this Pentecost Sunday for ourselves? When the great prophet Samuel visited Jesse and inspected all his sons. Do you know that story? Is it him? Is it him? Is it him? Well, haven't you got any more sons, says Samuel? Well, we've got the boy. Well, bring the boy in then, says Samuel. And they bring the boy in, and God says, him. The man already a boy after my own heart. It's him, Samuel. Anoint him. Mark him for me. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. We're not David. But on Pentecost Sunday, think about that. Pray for the work of the Spirit to be mighty in your life for God's sake. Because that's what David was like. You know, when he goes to Goliath, he doesn't say, well, I can take him. He says, how dare you challenge God Almighty? The boy says that. So today, give thanks for the Holy Trinity, for God's love for us, for the Son's dying and rising for us, that God cared while we were yet sinners. He knew we could never make it back alone. He also knew that most of us couldn't be bothered whether we got back or not. And he wanted to show us how to change, take his hand, and go back where we were created to be. And give thanks for the equipping of us by the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we may go out in his service, testifying to the truth, standing up for that God for whom David stood up. God Almighty is my God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all the people said, please, Amen.